The commissioner is in, and his take on fantasy sports is all-knowing and powerful. Jim Francisco is Radio 111's Fantasy Warlock. Who's your breakout? Concerned about boom or bust? How are you managing a flex? What to do with injuries? And much more. You've made it to the big leagues with a big guy. Now, here's your Fantasy Warlock.
Am I on?
Ben, looks like you're on.
Huh, we have a weird echo going on here. Anyway. Charlie! That's a hell of a way to start here. Doesn't that sound weird?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so can you hear this? It's me slapping myself. Wake up. Wake up, James. That's the weirdest little echo. Everything looks normal on the board. Strange. Okay, well, it's weird. I am Jimmy, your fantasy warlock. Here we are.
Radio 111. Oh, it's like, Jesus. What the hell just happened there? Now I'm way too loud. That's because I have my headphones on way too loud. Hey, that was such a professional opening. Let me do that again. Slapping myself to wake up on a Thursday. Yes, sir. Week 6 in the NFL. Week 5 was entertaining, Thomas. Sir Tom Woodworth with us again.
Good afternoon, sir.
So, Rams-Seahawks last Thursday night. Kind of played out like we thought, except Russell Wilson got hurt and is out 8 weeks now with a torn ligament in his finger, on his throwing hand. So he had surgery and will be down for 4 to 8 weeks. Seahawks will be going with the mighty Geno Smith at quarterback for a while. Yes, as a DK Metcalf owner in a league, I'm like, oh boy. Oh boy, that's not good. Rams 26, Seahawks 17, Stafford 365 yards and a touchdown. I told you last week, Darrell Henderson, 82 yards and a touchdown, couple of catches. And Cooper Kupp, taking a little bit of a back seat. Who is the guy? Robert Woods, 12 catches, 150. I've been telling you for weeks, if you can get Woods on the cheap, get him before he has a game like this. Because now, the owner's going to be like, well, 12 catches, 150. I don't know if I'm going to give him up. So you're going to have to pay a little more for him this week. But Woods did exactly what we thought he would do. DK Metcalf had a touchdown. Tyler Lockett had one called back on a holding call. Russell Wilson got hurt. And then it was just the Rams, you know, just burying Geno Smith. And Geno was trying to lead a comeback at the end and made a really horrible throw for an interception. Just terrible. Tyler Lockett fell, tried to sell it that he was interfered with, and no dice. Falcons, Jets. Now, that was very much fun to wake up at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday to watch this game. And I'm not kidding. It was actually kind of fun. Falcons 27-20. Tom, you remember last week I said, don't give up on Kyle Pitts?
You did.
If he's going to have a breakout game, it would be when? This game. 9 catches, 118, and a touchdown. I'm not Nostradamus. I just...
Nostra Jimmy.
Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, Matt Ryan's number 1 and 2 targets, out. Someone's got to catch the ball, right?
Makes sense.
11 targets, 9 catches, 118, and a touchdown.
You called it, my friend.
God, it's like, just like, you know, I hate doing that. I don't want to be that guy, like, patting myself on the back, but I nailed all this shit this week.
Yeah, you did.
All of it. Just
I'll Matt do it. Ryan I'll ended pat up, you on the back.
Matt Ryan, 342 and 2. He was playing the Jets. And there's one person I said on the Jets, if you have to play him, play him, and hope for a touchdown, Michael Carter. Didn't do much on the ground. Got his touchdown. It happens. Packers-Bengals. That was a fun game. After the game, Aaron Rodgers goes to Joe Burrow. And, you know, when the quarterbacks always go across and shake hands, and the head coaches go across and shake hands, Rodgers pulls Burrow in and goes, slide. Dude, you have a lot of talent and a lot of years ahead of you and a lot of things to do in this league. Slide, because Burrow went for a first down and like put his shoulder down it. He took a lick.
It amazes me how many professional quarterbacks actually don't know how to slide. They don't have any inclination. They don't even think to do it. But then, even when they do, they don't know how to do it properly.
They don't know how to slide. Like, I've seen guys go to slide, and it's like, you never played, these guys probably played baseball when they were kids. Nobody ever taught them how to slide. I mean, they go, and like, their leg gets caught behind them, and they look all awkward going in. You're like, is that a split or a slide? What are you doing there? Simple. Just go to your side, slide. Protect your dome. You know, so it just cracks me up. But Rodgers had a big game. Devontae Adams went nuts. Huge game. Huge game. That's like 11 catches, 180 yards, and a touchdown. Rodgers threw for 300 plus, a couple of touchdowns. Here's the thing you got to be concerned about if you're a Packer fan. It's like they're doing a Detroit Lion thing here and a Mike Shanahan thing here. Is Aaron Jones your guy or not? He had equal touches with A.J. Dillon. And the first time, you know, Jones ran for 100, but Dillon outpointed him in fantasy. Four catches for 49 and a touchdown, and he still dropped in like 55 yards. So he outperformed, and they had an equal snap count, and I think Jones had one touch more. There's no such, it's like, there's one bell cow left. We talked about him last week, Derrick Henry. We'll get to his game, but that's it. Here, Aaron Jones is off to a great start again. And they're just doing like they did when they had Jamal Williams there with Jones. Now it's A.J. Dillon. And Dillon's a big dude. It's a big kid. He's like 6'3". He's like Derrick Henry Jr., you know?
Derrick Henry light.
Big, huge legs, like massive. You're like, this guy's huge. And then, so I get it. You want to protect Jones for the long haul, whatever. Load management, our discussion last week. Just load management. You got to win games. Put your best players out there. On the Cincinnati side, Burrow had a great game, 300 yards. Jamar Chase, the rookie, another six catches, 159 and a touchdown. The running back situation, Samaje Perine started because Mixon was dinged. Mixon did get in and run for a touchdown. Perine caught a touchdown. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, I think when Mixon's fully healthy, he's as close to a bell cow as you'll get. Cincinnati will use him 20, 25 carries a game when things are going right. But he's not quite right. He's never been quite right physically. So Samaje Perine is going to be in the mix, just like Giovanni Bernard was. And it's going to be frustrating. Lions. Oh, sorry, Tom. Lions, Vikings. We're having a discussion on the way here about the Lions are like that guy in prison that, you know, man, they look really tough. And you get in the shower and you're like, I don't know, man. That guy's tough. I don't want to go near that guy. And then the guy drops the soap. Willingly. And you're like, what? Is that an invite? Well, that's what they do every week. And again, in the lead, kind of controlling the game, keeping the Vikings at bay. 30 seconds left, they're winning. Adam Thielen hasn't caught a pass all game. Two catches, 40 yards, back-to-back. Field goal, Vikings win 19-17. That's the third or fourth game this year they've lost on a field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's
wow.
Unfortunate. Very frustrating.
So unfortunate.
Let me ask you, big guy.
Shoot.
Are my Lions in for an 0-for season? Is that what I have to look forward to?
I don't know. They're going to be, it's interesting. The Lions and the, I mean, sooner or later, someone's going to miss a last second field goal against them, you would think. The law of averages has to come around. If they're going to be in games like this, they'll get lucky maybe once, twice. Well, they haven't been lucky yet.
I will give the Lions this. They are a team that is great for the record books. Unfortunately, it's just
the
not in our favor.
The other records. Yeah, so they have a very good chance of going over. I mean, it's going to be a race for the number one pick with them in Jacksonville, probably. You know? And, well, the Jets got to win.
Well, I can reassure you, we won't get the number one pick.
No, because you'll win a game like
exactly.
that where the guy will miss a field goal in the last game of the season when you
exactly.
need to lose so you can go over. Oh, yeah, that's true. And then you'll get the number two pick and you'll blow it.
That's also very true.
With the second pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions pick Jim Francisco. What? Yep, they're going to use his analytics in the boardroom. Well, you could have just hired me. You didn't have to draft me.
Listen, they're just as likely to pick you as they are a kicker, number one, because...
Why not?
Why not?
Just why not? We're the Lions.
We got beat by kickers.
Mm-hmm.
So let's draft a kicker.
God. You know... We're in our discussion here, too. It's the same thing, coach after coach, and you said it, like, maybe it's time for an ownership change, you know, because there's a culture there that come in and do exactly like the last guy did. I mean, I don't see any difference between this team and what you've had the last couple of years with Patricia or the years before that. I mean, who was the last coach you had that actually, what was the guy that was there with Barry? Little goofball.
Now you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
I keep seeing him. Just
wouldn't strike you as a great coach.
Oh, God damn it. Anyway, but here they did again. You know, they lose 19-17. Their kicker misses a field goal. You know, whatever. Zimmer, the Vikings coach, keeps, you know, luckily eking out these wins. I don't know how he's still coaching. But in that game, we talked last week about Dalvin Cook. If he's not playing, you want Madison in your team, right? You want Madison in the game. He ran for 113 in a touchdown, had 7 catches, and a receiving touchdown. So Madison was huge last week. On the and Justin Jefferson, another 7 catches, 124. Thielen didn't have anything until the last drive, 2 catches. You know, and then the 40 yards to put him in field goal position. But it was a down game for everybody. I mean, the division matchup, like we talked about, these guys know each other very well. There's a little bit of pride when you're playing the same team twice every year. You know, on the other side of the ball, your rookie, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Woo! 7 catches, 65 yards. That was your highlight of the day. Speedy little fella. Jamal Williams, 13 carries. DeAndre Swift, 11.
Doesn't make sense.
Swift did catch 6 balls for 53 yards, though. But Jamal also had a few catches. So it's like, you drafted the kid. He's a game breaker.
Let's use him.
Now, he does have a history, and he's on the injury report again this week, so who knows what he's probably, you know, we coach, when our girls are dinged during the week and they're not practicing, it pisses us off. And then they show up at a game like nothing happened, and you're like, oh, you mother, right? So maybe that's what's going on with DeAndre Swift, because he every week it's always like, oh, it's his quad, or he's got a bruise on his ankle, or, you know, and then he's fine. Well, you're getting paid to win, and that guy gives you the best chance to win. Get over yourself, coach. Just play him.
Yep.
You know, it's that whole baller's privilege thing we've talked about. If you're a baller, we're going to baby you a little bit, but you better be ready to go.
Yeah, you got to produce.
You got to produce.
So I think maybe you're either thinking of Wayne Fonts or Bobby Ross.
It was before Bobby Ross. Yeah, it was Wayne Fonts. Yeah, there it is. That guy. Wow. Yeah, they were actually a little creative on offense. Well, it was great when you have Barry Sanders back there. You just hand him the ball. The defensive line is 4 yards into the backfield, and he makes them all look silly, and he's gone. But yeah, it's terrible. This is not fun for fantasy football, being, you know, a guy that wants to play DeAndre Swift, wants to play TJ Hockenson, who can't stay healthy. Terrible stuff. Pittsburgh Steelers, 27, Broncos, 19. Oh, God. We talked about Claypool. He was sooner or later going to come out. Maybe this week, because they'll be focusing on Deontay Johnson. 5 catches, 130 and a touchdown. Najee Harris, the rookie. Another 26 touches, 100 yards rushing, some receiving yards, another touchdown. On the Denver side, what did I tell you? Javonte Williams, that's the guy you want. 8 carries, 61. Melvin Gordon, 9 carries, 34. Williams also caught 3 passes for 25. Give the kid the ball, he has the juice. Disappointing Noah Font, 3 catches, 20 yards. Ben Roethlisberger still quite injured. So, ugly game. Hopefully better this week for both teams. I am Jimmy, your Warlock. We'll be right back to finish up the review of week five. Jeez.
The 411 on fantasy sports action this week with the Fantasy Warlock. Here's Radio 111's Jim Francisco.
Welcome back. Week 5 review, Week 6 prep, Fantasy Football Warlock, Jimmy Francisco with not even my sidekick, my partner in crime, Sir Thomas Woodworth on the board.
Hey, big guy.
Sorry we wasted a lot of people's time talking about your Lions. Wait till we get to my Eagles.
Hey, big game.
Big game. Dolphins, Bucks. Dolphins, we said, well, it's a crapshoot. Gesicki's getting the ball. He did all right. Devontae Parker's injured. Nothing really on the offensive side except one guy if they get smart and just start using him more. And they did. Miles Gaskin. He only had 25 yards rushing, but he caught 10 balls for 74 and had 2 touchdowns. Well, I said last week, if you're going to play a Dolphin and it goes forward too, Gaskin's the guy to play for now. He's the only viable offensive weapon they have. We'll get to Tua's injury. He might be coming back this week. I don't know if that necessarily helps. I mean, Jacoby Brissett's a ding too, but who knows. But on the other side of the ball, the Bucs just lit up the scoreboard. Tom Brady had 411 yards and 5 touchdowns. Justin Fournette ran for 67 yards and a touchdown, also caught 4 balls for 43. Definitely seems to be the guy that is the preferred number one back there over Ronald Jones and Giovanni Bernard. Then we get to the wide receivers, and we said every week it's going to be a different one or two that go off, and the other one is going to be marginal, and everybody's going to get pissed. Brady throws for 411 and 5 touchdowns. 2 touchdowns, 6 catches, 113 for Evans. 2 touchdowns, 7 catches, 124 for Brown, Antonio Brown. The Godwin owners, he had 7 catches for 70 yards, and they're pissed. 7 catches for 70 yards in a PPR is 14 points. That's like his floor. The other two hit their ceiling. He hit the floor, but he hit his floor. He hit like the worst you're going to get out of Godwin. But it is still pisses you off when you see Brady throw for 411 and 5 touchdowns, and the guy you have gets none of the touchdowns. But Antonio Brown burned him twice. Evans burned him twice. Brady will hit the open guy. If you give him the deep shot, he is going to take it. At 44 years old or 70, whatever he is, he can still throw a pretty good deep ball. Doesn't hurt when you've got Evans out there at 6'4". Doesn't hurt when Antonio Brown knows how to run routes and he's wide open. Just amazing. But yeah, the Bucs are going to be really difficult to beat. Saints-Washington. We talked about how dog crap of a game this was going to be, and it was kind of ugly. Saints ended up winning 33-22. The vaunted Redskins defense. Ooh, coming into the season, everybody's like, Chase Young, this defense was good last year. They're going to be great. They just let Jameis Winston throw for 279 and 4 touchdowns. Callaway, 4 catches, 55, and 2 touchdowns. Deontay Harris, 1 catch, 72 yards, touchdown. It was just like wide open. I mean, nobody was covering these guys. Alvin Kamara, 16 carries, 71 and a touchdown, 5 catches, 51 and a touchdown. He's seeing all the targets, all the running play. He's the guy. They don't have anybody else there behind him. They don't have Drew Brees. They know that Kamara is their best offensive weapon. He's going to get the ball, people. Sorry he's on a bye this week. Kamara owners are happy the way he's been going so far, but disappointed he's off this week. That's the way it works. Eagles 21, Panthers 18. Eagles go down to Carolina and upset the Panthers, who were favored. Jalen Hurts did not do much from the air. 198 in a pick, but he ran for 30 and 2 touchdowns. Devonta Smith, the rookie, the only viable receiver outside of Goddard and Ertz, who did nothing, by the way. 7 catches, 77 yards. On the Carolina side, the receivers, like we talked about, DJ Moore, we don't know. Robbie Anderson, we don't know. Anderson, 5 catches, 42. 4 catches, 55 for DJ Moore. It's like, okay, well, not that exciting. But Chuba Hubbard had 24 carries, 101 yards, 5 receptions, 33 yards. It was like his mini Christian McCaffrey impersonation. Because those are the kind of numbers you expect from McCaffrey. And Hubbard did pretty well in relief. McCaffrey may be back this week. We'll find out. But in the meantime, Hubbard's holding the fort. We get to our favorite bell cow, Titans-Jaguars. It was pretty obvious. If you have Derrick Henry, you're drooling. He rewarded 130 yards, 3 touchdowns, 29 carries. Guy's getting 30 touches a game. He had a couple of catches, too. It's like every week, there's your horse. Rode him to a 37-19 win. A.J. Brown back off the injured list. 3 catches, 38 yards, not exciting. Tannehill only had to throw the ball 22 times for 197. Trevor Lawrence ran for a touchdown, threw for one, threw a pick, 273 yards. Passing, not bad. We said one viable guy every week you play, James Robinson, 149 yards rushing and a touchdown, a couple of catches. Week to week, he's their only play, safe play. LaViski Shenhua, 1 catch, 5 yards. Yikes.
Pretty sure we could do that.
I could turn, catch the ball, and then just go down like a sack of potatoes real quick. I can slide. Patriots-Texans. This game was crazy. The Texans jumped out to an early lead on a couple of long touchdown passes, and then You're like, oh my God, are they going to? No, they didn't. Hold on. The Patriots just put him to sleep with the running game. I mean, Mac Jones only had to throw like 25 times. 231, a touchdown and a pick. Damian Harris, 58 and a touchdown. Hunter Henry, another six catches, 75 and a touchdown. Seems to be his preference, the tight end. It's kind of funny, you know, Mac Jones, Henry, Brady Gronk, Patriots, quarterback, tight end. Unbelievable. About to hit the break. We'll be back after the bottom of the hour news. This is Jimmy, your fantasy warlock. A couple more games to go through and get on to week six.
Fantasy football talk with someone who really knows their shit. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock from Radio 111. Here's Big Jim.
Big in size, big in mind. Big boobies, that's your Jimmy. Sir Tom on the other end there. His smaller stature, but just fit as a fiddle. Running around with our soccer girls last night, probably hurting this morning from it.
Everything's on fire, my friend.
That was hysterical. What were you doing running against Kyla, arguably the fastest kid on our team?
Well, you know me, big guy. I'm a competitive person.
You sure are.
All those kids were calling me out.
Then run against
it. Couldn't help it.
I was going to say something right there that would have been really mean. You know, you could have run against Corinne or somebody new, you know.
I thought about it, but hey, if you're going to go big.
Go big or go home. Yeah, so we were talking about the Patriots and Texans. Davis Mills, the rookie quarterback for the Texans, 312 and three touchdowns. I mean, out of nowhere. I mean, you don't expect that against New England ever. And I think they were just like, screw it. They're going to try to take out Brandon Cooks, just like I said they would. He's their only offensive weapon. He only had five targets, caught three balls for 23 yards. So you knew the Patriots were going to take him out. And we talked about that last week, and that's exactly what they did. They got nothing out of their running game, but Mills just dropped back and just hucked it long. And they burned him three times. So it was definitely, you want to beat the Patriots, just say screw it and go deep. They'll take away your best weapons. They always do. No matter where Belichick coaches, the opponent's best offensive weapon is going to be neutralized. Bears, Raiders, Gruden's last game as an NFL employee, I guess. I mean, he's done. I can't imagine this guy ever getting another job related to the NFL again.
No, I don't see that happening.
He's going to be a bit player on the Howard Stern show now. It's going to be like, well, there's Baba Booey. We don't have him, but we got Gruden. He's crazy enough to say stupid stuff. Dude. Emails. We talk to our players about this all the time. Don't put anything on the internet. Don't say stuff that can come back to haunt you. Don't post something on your Instagram. Don't use foul language. Don't put up the middle finger in pictures. Don't drink red Solo cups. Gruden was saying this stuff to another NFL exec when he was doing Monday Night Football, and then those, I guess the emails kept going after that, before he was a head coach again, but, I mean, he called Roger Goodell an F-word, the F-word derogatory for homosexuals, you know? He called out Jeff Fisher and the St. Louis Rams for cowering to the NFL about drafting the first gay player in 2014, you know? And it's like, oh my God, man. And you put this in emails. You know, sitting at a bar with your buddy or something, like, drunk and being stupid, one thing, but putting it in an email and sending it out, oh, dude, it was always going to come back and bite you, right?
Yeah, I think there's just a time and place for some things, and then there's never a time and place for other things.
He just didn't know when to stop, apparently. I mean, so it's like, well, I didn't mean anything racist by that, but did you mean anything homophobic by that? Did you mean anything misogynist by that? Like, NFL female referees won't be able to do the job. Dude, if you believe that, keep it to yourself.
Exactly.
Keep it to yourself, sir. Not now. Not in this day and age. Well, but you know, there's freedom of speech. Yeah, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to hire you now. You just took yourself out of the market, sir.
Yeah, I don't know that he's too worried about that. I think he's got plenty of money.
Yeah, I mean, and 10 years, $100 million contract with the Raiders. He made it through, what, 1, 2, 3, and a third?
There might be some small college or crazy high school AD that would hire the guy based off his name.
Yep, we're going to start a private school out here. The Jimmy and Tom School for Wayward Kids, and John Gruden's going to be our football coach. We'll straighten them bastards out. Jeez. No, but it's just a shame, though, that in this day and age, you know, you can be that stupid. Really. I mean, Rich Eisen had a great rant about it yesterday. And, you know, good for Rich. Good for, you know, people that are coming out of the woodwork. It was kind of funny to see Keyshawn Johnson call him a fraud and a car salesman. It's like, wow. You know, can you imagine if he would have won a Super Bowl with the Raiders like the last 2 years? And then this stuff came out. It's like, ooh.
Well, now you're starting to see stories and things about his decision making as far as roster.
Yeah, it's just bad.
It's just going to continue to pile on for a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and it was obviously a distraction last week. They lost to the Bears 20-9. They lost to the Bears, and Justin Fields threw for 111 yards. 111 yards, NFL quarterback. So we knew their running back, David Montgomery, went down to injury the week before. Everybody just assumed Damien Williams, 16 carries, 19 yards and a touchdown, or I'm sorry, 40 yards and a touchdown. But the real player in that was Khalil Herbert, the young running back, 18 carries, 75. So here we go again, another split backfield. Allen Robinson still waiting to have his breakout game, 4 catches for 32. I mean, a quarterback only threw for 111, so you can't expect a lot. And I wouldn't expect much out of this offense going forward. They just don't have it. And Justin Fields is a rookie. I mean, he's still a baby. He didn't even run for much. I think he only ran for like 20 yards. Derek Carr on the other side, 206 yards and a pick. 2 weeks before this, he was being talked about as an MVP candidate, throwing 375 a game, hitting rugs downfield, finding Darren Waller. Well, Waller, he targeted Waller 8 times this week, only had 4 catches for 45. Josh Jacobs, 15 carries, 44 and a touchdown. Renfro seems to be the only receiver that seems to catch the ball every week, 6 for 56. What a mess. And I don't think it's going to get much better for the Raiders now that this has all happened. Expect a little bit of a different style of offense. Maybe it's going to be more Josh Jacobs out of the, you know, running. Jacobs and Kenyon Drake, who they signed in the offseason, I expect to see more running out of them. Try to slow things down, get everybody calm. And they'll take their deep shots to Ruggs and Brandon Edwards. They'll go back to like the 70s Raiders style. Pound the run, throw it deep. You know, but it was an ugly game, and I don't think it's going to get much better. We can talk about the Gruden thing all day, but it's just disappointing. It's just disappointing. I mean, he's always been kind of a goofball. You know, you're more interested in watching a game to see how his face is going to be reacting on the sideline and what he's doing.
Yeah, he's always been on the edge of things, right? People like that edge until that edge cuts you.
Yeah, and the edge cut himself.
Yeah,
cut himself pretty deep. But yeah, it's like emails. And then, you know, the whole thing, like, they were investigating the Washington football team for their misogynistic behavior and all the complaints about women being, and there's emails from Allen going to Gruden with pictures of cheerleaders changing. Oh my God. Of course they're going to pull all these emails. You know, it's like, oh man, but they're private. Well, they're going to an NFL exec through NFL emails. I don't know.
I think it's safe to say no corporate email is private.
No. This is exactly why I don't have, you know, people always laugh. Like, I have the Instagram and the Twitter for the show. But I don't do social media like Facebook and everything because I know my friends I grew up with. And I don't want to be on there having to defend them saying something crazy and stupid or dropping an F-bomb or an F-A-G-G-O-T-T bomb or whatever, how you spell it. You know, because that's what they do. Right? So I'm like, I used to think, well, if I ever do run for mayor of Palm Springs, I can't have my Jamoke friends from back home all posting on my Facebook page, oh, Jimmy, oh, whoa, he became a sissy, oh, he lives out there in Palm Springs, oh, you know.
Well, as they say, you're guilty by association.
Yeah. So everybody that was on the other end of those emails with Gruden, oh, man, sorry for you guys.
Yeah.
I think it was, the executive, Allen, who's hasn't been with the Redskins for a couple years now, he's never going to get another NFL job. He's done. Let's have some fun. Browns Chargers. What a game. 42-47, Chargers come out on top. Justin Herbert now playing himself into MVP talk. Like, well, It was Derek Carr, but now Justin Herbert looks like he's MVP because Kyler Murray had a down week. You know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't look as good. Maybe it's Herbert's year. He looks like the best quarterback in the league. 398 yards and 4 touchdowns. And we said it. We're like, look, you play all your Chargers. Eckler, 66 rushing, 53 receiving, and 5 catches, 2 touchdowns, including the touchdown at the end of the game that was funny. He broke towards the end zone and slid down to run clock around the 1 yard line. So then the next play, they hand it to him again, and he's just kind of killing time behind his lineman, and the Browns grabbed him and dragged him into the end zone. It was the funniest thing ever, and they got the ball back and tried to move up the field and didn't get it off, but that was funny, you know? But he had the, you know, fantasy owners are going crazy because he slides down, you know, like Brian Westbrook did that with the Eagles like right. 20 years ago, and everybody flipped out. Cost a lot of fantasy Super Bowls for people. Slides, it's a smart play, right? But then the next play, just have your quarterback kneel. But they give it to him, and he's like, and he's just standing there, like not trying to run it in, and the Browns just crowd him, pushed him into the end zone. It was funny.
Well, hey, kudos to both teams.
Yeah.
Both teams' players are having a little bit of awareness.
Awareness, right?
You know, in a day and age where NFL head coaches can't
don't seem to have awareness.
Manage the clock.
Yeah, so it was crazy. I mean, Mike Williams, who'd had a couple of down weeks, but the first few weeks are really big. People were giving up on him, trading him away. Well, 8 catches, 165, and 2 long touchdowns. Oops. Yeah, I told you, he's going to get his. It's not going to be every week. You know Keenan Allen's going to catch his 6 to 10 balls, which he did again, 6 for 75, like the Godwin thing. Those guys are always going to catch balls because they're the third down guys. They're the guys the quarterbacks feel most comfortable with. They're going to get their catches in the slot. The Williams, the Evans, the Antonio Browns, they're the game breakers. The DK Metcalfs, they're the ones that are going to have the 8, 165 in 2 weeks. And you're going to be like, damn it, I didn't play him this week. Well, so this is what happens. The other side of the ball, OBJ. Oh, shell of him, former self. 2 catches, 20 yards.
I was watching a thing with Stephen A. Mm. And he came out and basically accused the Browns of purposely not targeting him.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield, I don't know if he's that intelligent to not throw to him. If he's open, he's open. But he doesn't look good. He hasn't looked like himself. But if he's going to say that kind of stuff, Stephen A., I mean, Stephen A. loves stirring the pot. You know, it's like what the Reggie Jackson era of the Yankees. He's the he's the straw that stirs the drink, Stephen A. But, you know, they traded for him. They knew what they were getting, or they should have known what they were getting. They didn't like the attitude and the craziness that went along with him. They shouldn't have traded for him. Jarvis Landry's out. Might be back soon. But, you know, you knew what you were getting. So don't, now you're not going to throw to him? His targets are down, but he's still coming off of reconstructive knee surgery. Might not be himself completely. And Baker can't hit him on a wide open bomb anyway. I mean, he's wide open last week, overthrew him by like 30 yards. It wasn't because OBJ was slow. It was just terrible throw, right? But Mayfield, you know, he had a pretty good game. You know, he put 305 and 2 touchdowns up. One of them to Njoku. He had 7 catches, their tight end, for 149 and a long touchdown, a 70-some yard touchdown. The story of this team is always going to be Chubb and Hunt. If you have both of these guys, it's one of those backfields where two guys are going to share. You can play both of them. I mean, Kareem Hunt, 12 carries, 66 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 catches for 28. Chubb, 27 carries, 161 yards and a touchdown, 1 catch for 9. So there's 28 and 17 touches between them. So 45 of those touches went to those two running backs. It's safe to say you can play Hunt. You can play him in a flex. If he's your running back too, that's fine because he's outperforming guys that are supposed to be bell cows on other teams. And Nick Chubb still got his 161 yards. And everybody's screaming because Hunt got the touchdowns. It's like, but Chubb finally ran one in. Everybody's like, oh, play them both. There's no reason why you can't. That offense runs through those two guys. They don't want it on Baker, and they definitely don't want it on OBJ. So maybe Stephen A is right. Giants, Cowboys. Cowboys dismantled the Giants, just like we said. Everybody in play. Daniel Jones hurt. Saquon Barkley hurt. Galladay hurt. Devin Booker, if you got him for a Barkley replacement, play him. That's about it. I mean, Cardinals 17-10. Bills 38-20. We'll get into those games, those last three games, and start talking about injuries for this week. This is Jimmy.
Radio 111 is your home for talking fantasy sports. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock. And live from Palm Springs, here's the man, the legend, the Warlock himself, Jimmy.
Hola. Said Jimmy here. Said Tom there.
Hola.
So we spent a lot of time reviewing these games from the week before, not for the reasons you might think. You probably think, well, he's just giving us the stats and everything so we know who to use this week. No, not necessarily. I'm just giving you a rundown, and we try to talk about trends and who's seeing the ball more on each one of these teams. Because bottom line, fantasy sports is about opportunity. Who's getting red zone opportunities? Who's getting targets in the passing game? Who's going to touch the ball? The more the guy touches the ball, the more he's going to get yardage, the more he has a chance to score a touchdown. So as we've gone through these, we try to point some of those out and things to look for going forward. Don't get lost in the goofy stats like this one. Kadarius Toney, 10 catches, 189 for the Giants last week. Shepard hurt. Galladay hurt. Saquon Barkley hurt early in the game. And he got hurt on the goofiest play. Did you see Saquon Barkley's injury?
No, I didn't.
It was a pass play. He was running a pattern, and he kind of just like was turning, and a player from the other team came across. They were all flying, and he just stepped on his ankle and just twisted it. And it was like, oh no, this unlucky bastard, you know? He looked good the last couple of weeks, could have had a huge game against the Cowboys, first quarter ankle, and you just saw it just roll. You know, it's like in basketball when a guy steps on your foot and you just roll it, or you come down off a rebound and you catch the guy's foot and your ankle just rolls. Well, that's what happened, and he's out now for a few weeks. Haven't released the severity of the injury, but it could be a high ankle sprain, which means he'd be down for 4 or 5 weeks, kind of like what you're going through with Dalvin Cook. But yeah, I mean, Devin Booker came in, looked well, looked good. Devin Booker's not a bad running back. He's going to be viable this week to play, but it was just crazy. Daniel Jones gets out, he got knocked out almost. I mean, that was a bad hit he took. Mike Glennon, their backup quarterback, comes in, and he didn't look bad. I mean, they only scored 20 points, but they were moving the ball. The Cowboys' offense is just way too much for him. Zeke, 140, 110 in the touchdown. Pollard had 75 rushing yards. Zeke had 2 catches for 2 yards and a touchdown. So the offense is still going to go through Zeke. And Dak, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. CeeDee Lamb, touchdown. Schultz, Amari Cooper. If Amari Cooper doesn't get that touchdown, people are going to get mad. 3 catches for 60 yards. But he got the touchdown, so he got you your 15 points. But the Cowboys' offense is legit. They're going to score points. A lot of weapons. 2 good tight ends, 3 great receivers, apparently 2 good running backs, and a quarterback on a mission to prove that the money spent wasn't ill-spent. Cardinals 49ers, the much-ballyhooed first start for Trey Lance, 192 yards, 1 pick, 89 yards rushing, though. Just something they haven't had in a long time in San Francisco since Steve Young, a quarterback that can run. Debo Samuel, 1 carry, 13 yards, and a touchdown, 3 catches, 58. That was the extent of the offense. Cardinals defense played very good. Cardinals offense didn't have to do much. The Niners defense is still good. So the Cardinals struggled a little bit. Murray didn't look himself, 239 yards and a touchdown. Hopkins, 6 catches, 87 and a touchdown. James Conner ran a touchdown in. Chase Edmonds wasn't supposed to play, but then played. So Edmonds and Conner split it again. Conner gets a touchdown. Edmonds gets the yards between the 20s. Just get used to it, people. And Edmonds seems to have a shoulder injury every week. But watching that game, Murray didn't look right. He only took 1 deep shot, and he was looking at Hopkins a lot underneath. So it turns out, we'll get to the injuries when we come back after the next break, Murray has something wrong with his right shoulder again. Same right shoulder that he hurt last year, taking hits on the running game. Sooner or later, they're going to be like, kid, slide. Learn to slide, right? But he took a shot, and now his shoulder's hurting again. People are like, man, what do I do with Kyler Murray? I said, I don't know. I traded him 2 weeks ago. I traded him for Josh Allen, and Kyle Pitts. The Pitts owner was pissed. Josh Allen hadn't been doing much yet. Kyler Murray was off the charts. I'm like, man, he's got a lot of weapons. Yeah, I'll do that. Now I got a great backup tight end for Kelsey, and I have a great backup quarterback for Mahomes. So I'm fine, right? You got to be willing to make that big name trade once in a while. And if someone's going to be stupid and give you 2 good names, take them. So anyway, watch the injury reports this week. We'll get to that with Murray and everything, but very different Cardinal offense when Murray's not able to huck that ball downfield, because that's when he's most dangerous on the run, still being able to throw it 60 yards down the field. Sunday night's game. Everybody was excited about it. It's going to be a huge shootout. And it almost was. The Chiefs have not looked like themselves. Their defense is not very good yet. And the Bills showed. You know, Josh Allen, 315 and three touchdowns. He ran for 59 yards and ran for a touchdown. He was all over them. The Chiefs could not stop the Bills' offense. Moss and Singletary, I told you, don't use either one. If you have to, use Moss because he's a little more active in the passing game. He had three catches for 55 yards. He had 11 carries. Singletary had six. I mean, it's a split. Any one of these guys can go off on any given week, and then the other guy's irrelevant. Then the following week, it's going to be the other guy. They're both young, viable backs. The big receiver, Stephon Diggs, ever since, you know, and I told everybody, Diggs had a great season last year, but he was the only game in town, and Allen just peppered him with targets. He's got Emmanuel Sanders now. Emmanuel Sanders, three catches, 54 and two touchdowns, and Dawson Knox, the tight end, is now viable. Three catches, 117 and another touchdown. His kid's got a touchdown in every game this season. Mahomes was not himself, 272 and two touchdowns, two picks. He now has six picks, which is what he had all of last year. He ran the ball eight times for 61 yards. No running game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got hurt early on. They couldn't generate anything from the run. Mecole Hardman was your number one receiver for the Chiefs, 9 for 76. Hill went for 7 for 63, and he got dinged. Kelce, his 6 for 57 and a touchdown, which you expect. Just crazy. Colts, Ravens. Huge Monday night game. 442 yards and 4 touchdowns for Lamar. 402 yards and 2 for Wentz. Jonathan Taylor went off. Andrews went off. Hollywood Brown went off. I am Jimmy.
The commissioner is in, and his take on fantasy sports is all-knowing and powerful. Jim Francisco is Radio 111's fantasy warlock. Who's your breakout? Concerned about boom or bust? How are you managing a flex? What to do with injuries? And much more. You've made it to the big leagues with a big guy. Now, here's your fantasy warlock.
Yes, very professional. Just an ode to my former buddy, the coach. Damn, coach, are you reading that right from the newspaper? Yes, he was. Love the coach. Richie, hope you're doing well, buddy. Designated to return from the injured reserve this week, T.Y. Hilton for the Indianapolis Colts and Tua Tagovailoa. I can never pronounce that guy's last. We just call him Tua. We're going to make him a Brazilian soccer player.
Tagovailoa.
He's coming off a rib injury. He's hoping to return this week through practice. We'll see how that goes. T.Y. Hilton. You know, coming off of IR, that means you have a 21-day window to be activated. Otherwise, you go back on IR and you're lost for the season. So it's a neck injury with Hilton. He's been dinged a lot the last couple of years. Maybe he's excited the way Wentz has been playing. Wentz did throw for 400 yards Monday night against Baltimore. So, maybe T.Y.'s a little motivated again. Career could be coming to an end for the little guy. Been a fast little receiver for a long time. Injuries to watch. Kyler Murray, we talked about his shoulder. He was limited in practice yesterday and today. I know people are probably freaking out. I mean, he played through a similar thing last year. It's a little alarming that it's back this early in the season, but when you run like he does and you don't slide, things like this can happen. You're going to get hit in the shoulder. They're going to hit you in your throwing shoulder, son. Slide. Dive out of bounds. Whatever it takes, just go down. That extra 2 yards is not worth what you could be dealing with the rest of the season. Rookie Justin Fields, ribs, knee, limited practice. Told reporters he'll be good. Well, I hope so, kid, but he took a beating last week against the Raiders. The Raiders' defense is getting after the quarterback. They're not doing anything behind that pass rush, but man, they're getting after the quarterback. And he took a lot of hits last week. Plus, he ran for a hell of a, 70 yards or something. Daniel Jones, concussion, didn't practice. He's got a clear protocol and all that before he gets back on the field. More than likely to end up holding him out. Just be prepared for that. Christian McCaffrey didn't play last week again. Still coming back from the hamstring injury. Limited practice yesterday. Limited again this morning. We'll see what it looks like by the end of the week. Now he's at about a 50-50 spot to play, so we'll see. Dalvin Cook, limited practice. Alexander Mattison, who replaced him last week and had a huge game, didn't practice. He has a shoulder injury. So if neither one of these guys can go... Oh, here's a blast from the past for you, Thomas. The starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings would be Amir Abdullah, former Lions standout. Amir Abdullah will not do what Cook or Madison did. Trust me, if you have to play Amir Abdullah, he's going to get the touches, but he will not perform like the other two. He's not the same, not even close to the same type of back. So be prepared. But if the Vikings are down Cook and Madison, expect a lot of throwing in that game. Kareem Hunt, wrist, neck, knee. Nick Chubb, calf. So the two guys that we were just talking about going, you can play them both. If either one goes down, the other one goes immediately up into Derrick Henry, into right. that stratosphere, right? So when Chubb was down last year, Hunt went off for like 4 weeks, right? If Hunt goes down and it's just Chubb, Chubb's going off. If Chubb's down and Hunt's the guy again, Hunt's going off. They're just that good, both of them. Chris Carson, neck, still didn't practice. He sat out last week. They were hoping he'd be ready for this week. We're not sure yet. Damian Williams, who replaced David Montgomery in Chicago, foot and knee. So that explains why Khalil Herbert got in. And if you were smart last week to grab Herbert ahead of this week's rush, you know, you always have to think like that. Okay, if the main running back like David Montgomery goes down, the obvious handcuff's Damian Williams. He's either on someone's roster or he's going to be the hot pickup on free agency, right, on the waiver wire. So who's behind him? What if he goes down? Well, now that he might be going down, Khalil Herbert's going to be the guy this week that everybody's going to be scrambling for on the waiver wire. But you could always get ahead of it. Look ahead. Find that like younger running back that might have some juice that gets in later. Bury him on your roster if you have the space. And sit on him. So here's a guy that would have been perfect to sit on last week. Now this week it's going to cost you. Damian Harris, running back, Patriots, ribs, didn't practice. He left Sunday's game on two separate occasions with the injury. Came back in. It was serious enough to sideline him Wednesday, so we'll see what happens. Tyreek Hill, at first they said he had a knee injury, but it turns out it's a quad contusion just above his knee. Okay. Contusion. Sounds like a soccer player we have.
Well, sounds
not
like
quite the knee. Quite a few. Could be the quad, but, you know. Adam Thielen, foot. Justin Jefferson, ankle. That's not good for Minnesota, but they should both be fine. They don't seem major injuries. Mike Williams was added to the injury report last night with a knee thing. Just if you can't practice Thursday or Friday, then we know it's a problem. Allen Robinson, ankle. Kadarius Toney. Look, this list gets bigger every week as the season goes on. You get a lot of names on here. Don't panic. These guys have been playing in the NFL for a while. Kadarius Toney, the rookie that everybody was all excited about from the Giants, he has an ankle injury. Sterling Shepard, still a hamstring injury. Kenny Golladay, a brain injury. Just something between his ears that's not clicking, and he was out again this week. Sammy Watkins, thigh injury. TJ Hawkinson, still a knee thing going on, and he's playing like he's got something wrong with his knee, to be honest with you. Joe Burrow. Now, these injuries might not matter, and they might. Joe Burrow, throat. He has a contusion on the inside of his throat. Ugh. So he's doing the whole writing things down and not talking thing at practice right now. That's kind of funny. You have to go to silent count this weekend.
Yeah, somebody going to call the plays in the huddle?
Right. I know, it's interesting, though. But yeah, so he practiced in full yesterday, though, so that's good. He went to the hospital immediately after the game the other night for observation to check to make sure there's nothing going on in there. It's a dangerous place, you know, obviously your throat. But he should be fine. Joe Mixon, ankle, limited practice. He played through the injury last week in limited fashion, got 30-some yards and a touchdown. Needs to be full-blown Joe Mixon to really get the value out of him. Julio Jones, remember him? Still a hamstring injury. Didn't release an official injury report Wednesday, and we won't know until Monday night because they played a Monday night game. So look for practice today, tomorrow, and Saturday to see if he's practicing. If he's practicing in full, he should be a full go Monday night. But if you have to wait till Monday night to activate him in, don't wait. Find somebody else. You got to see Julio out there. You got to see him out there for a game or so before you can trust him. Trending down for the week. Devontae Parker, hamstring. He sat out last week again for Miami. Probably sitting out again. Kenny Golladay, it's now his knee. Shocking. So those are your injuries to watch, names to watch. And there's a lot of big names on there now. But don't panic with the Chubb and Hunt thing. Don't panic with the Joe Burrow thing or whatever. They'll be fine. Kyler Murray, I'd be concerned about. Definitely. Little segment here. Quarterback matchups, running back matchups. So now we have 5 weeks of information. Okay. After week one, it's like, oh my God, that team's terrible against the pass. Maybe not. So after 5 weeks, now you can start looking at teams going, okay, this team's not very good against the pass. This team's not very good against the rush. What we like to do in fantasy is, what does each team do against positions? So if you have a quarterback, there are six teams you want to avoid if your quarterback's playing them, and six teams you want to exploit if you have a quarterback. For example, if you have a quarterback, like you're Patrick Mahomes this week, you're drooling because you're playing the Washington Redskins, who have given up the most to quarterbacks all year. Incidentally, in the same game, the second worst defense, the defense to exploit, the Kansas City Chiefs. Can't stop the pass. Third, Indianapolis Colts. Exploit them. Lamar Jackson, not only was he running the ball great Monday night, but he looked like, you know, he looked like Steve Young. He was throwing the ball all over the place. 442 yards. That's huge for Lamar Jackson. Colts cannot stop the pass. Luckily for the Colts, they get Davis Mills and the resurgent Houston Texans, who blew the game against the Patriots. Division matchup, I expect the Colts defense to have a big performance there, but this is normally, these are the teams you want to exploit. So if you have a quarterback, these are your matchups you like. Washington, Kansas City, Indianapolis, Tampa Bay. Two reasons for that. Tampa Bay's defense is pretty good up front, but their secondary is decimated. And Brady and them are going to put up points. So if you have a quarterback going against the Bucs, don't be afraid to play them, because you're going to get garbage points. They're going to be coming from behind and having to throw all day. Luckily, Tampa Bay's secondary is horrible right now. There's going to be big plays. So Philly plays them this week. Could be a very fun game. Tonight, actually. It's tonight. Thursday Night Football. Could be a lot of points here. Jalen Hurts running around, avoiding a rush, hitting Devontae Smith deep. You never know. If you have Tennessee's defense, another one to exploit, and the Atlanta Falcons. That's the big six you want to target if you have a quarterback. Sad for the league that Atlanta's on a bye this week, but oh well. Defenses to avoid if you have a quarterback. Now, this one's kind of tricky because the Buffalo Bills, they did hold Mahomes pretty much in check. And they've played, outside of Mahomes, they haven't really played anybody good. Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback they played. And he's Ben now, he's like 80 and dinged. But Buffalo's defense is the hardest to score on if you're a quarterback. Chargers are second best. And yet they're still giving up a lot of points. I mean, Baker Mayfield threw for 300 with no weapons. So, but they did pound the run. You know, it's one of those things. That's where, like, the stats, you're like, really? But there's a reason why the Chargers are having to, you know, the Chargers are scoring a lot of points. Teams are scoring, going against them. And when you're in a lead, it's easier for your defense to play against the pass. And the Chargers do have a pretty good secondary. And if their pass rush with Bosa and them is on, they're tough to play against. But I still don't buy that. I mean, I buy it because I see the numbers, but it's like one of those, but they're in a lot of high-scoring games. They're not blowing anybody out, right? Buffalo's blowing everybody out. The Saints defense, avoid them. The Broncos defense, avoid. And then it's funny, the Cowboys and Eagles are two defenses to avoid in this top six against the pass. Well, we'll see what happens tonight with Tom Brady and them. These numbers are always interesting. Like I said, I mean, these are numbers after five games. This could be completely different after 10 games. If you have a running back, matchups to exploit. We talked about this last week with the Rams. If you're playing Seattle, play your running back. The Giants. Cowboys ran for 200 and some yards on them last week. The Bengals. Oh, Detroit plays them this week. Maybe they'll actually give the ball to DeAndre Swift. The Texans you can run on. The Browns you can run on. The Steelers, believe it or not. And then the Dolphins. Okay. Defenses to avoid in running back matchups. Carolina, Chicago, New England, Detroit, and Minnesota. Interesting. And then Baltimore, the Jets, Rams, Raiders, Cardinals, Packers. And if you look at that, they all have pretty good defensive fronts. The anomaly here is the Lions. I mean, are they tougher up front? Am I missing something? Because that's where the numbers get funny. You're like, how did the Lions get in there? Doesn't make any sense to
me. It's a mystery.
It's a mystery. So that one's pretty interesting. And then you get to the wide receiver matchups. This one's pretty intriguing. Wide receiver matchups to get excited about or not to get excited about. So if you have wide receivers, the number one defense to exploit is Tampa Bay. Bodes well for the Eagles tonight. Second best, the second worst, is the Steelers right now, which is shocking. then the Redskins, Titans, Saints, Bengals, Giants. Defenses to avoid if you have a wide receiver. Buffalo, Philly, San Diego, Raiders, Panthers, Lions. You keep piling on the Lions, but they're in tight games. I got to give them that. Tight end matchups to exploit. Indianapolis, Houston, Jacksonville, Green Bay, Rams. Tight end matchups to avoid. Bears, Titans, Bills, Steelers, Broncos. I am your Jimmy. We'll be back. Go through the games for this week.
It's Fantasy Football Talk with someone who really knows their shit. Jim Francisco is the Fantasy Warlock from Radio 111. Here's Big Jim.
Welcome back. I am your Warlock. Thursday Night Football tonight. My Philadelphia Eagles, Tampa Bay Bucks. We were just talking about matchups to exploit. Yeah, well, the Eagles have passed the ball a lot. They're not running at all. Okay? As an Eagle fan, here's probably what's going to happen tonight. Tampa Bay is really good against the run, terrible against the pass, right? It wouldn't be surprising if the Eagles tried to run the ball ad nauseum to start the game. Right? Because, well, it's like do that opposite of what everything's telling you to do. Come on, man. They cannot stop the pass. Go no huddle. Throw it down their throats. It's not going to happen. Miles Sanders is averaging like 5 carries a game. He's probably going to have 12 carries in the first quarter for like 7 yards.
What is that, just trying to prove a point? Why do coaches
do that? I don't know why
coaches
do that. Like, I'm going to outsmart myself. I'm going to outsmart the other. No, the other team knows they're good against the run, terrible against the pass. Well, they're going to obviously try to fix it. Well, they haven't fixed it in 5 weeks, and everybody's hurt. Go after them, right?
Yeah,
trust
that
your young quarterback.
Is that a, I know what you know that I know that you don't know that I know, but... Wait, what's happening?
Exactly. So here you have a young coach in Philly. Is he going to fall into that stupidity trap? Or is he just going to say, screw it, this is what we've been doing all season. We've been throwing the ball. We're going to keep throwing it. Well, this is the game to throw it. So throw the ball. The over-under is 52.5, so they're expecting points. Tampa Bay is going to do their scoring. You know, I mean, the Eagles' front is good. And they might be able, if they can hit Brady early, he does have a thumb injury. You know, it takes one throw and a follow through and he hits that thumb on someone's helmet or something, you know, things can change real quick. So this game could be a shootout. And if something happened to Brady's thumb, this could be one of those games that goes under and everybody's like, what happened to all the points? Well, Tom Brady got hurt. Well, he's fine for now, but he does have a thumb injury on his throwing hand. Care who you are, that's tough to throw a football, right? Especially when people are rushing at you. And the Eagles do have a good pass rush. So it's going to be interesting tonight. It'll be an interesting game. It's either going to be a shootout or it's going to be like 20-17. And everybody's going to be like, what the hell happened? Right? You never know. One little thing like that. Mm-hmm. He does have a thumb injury. The Eagles can't get out of their own way.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game. I'm taking the under, my friend.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. It could go the other way, but I don't see that happening. It's only they played on Sunday, both teams.
Yep.
Coming
short
back
turnaround.
Thursday. Yeah. This is going to be an interesting game. But if you have Brady, you play him. I play Brown. I play Godwin. I play Evans. You could probably play Fournette. He's the one that seems to be getting the ball. But that could be Ronald Jones tonight, too. Fournette had to load on Sunday. Let's throw Jones out there. I mean, you never know. But you know that Brady's going to throw the ball, and you know he's going to hit those 3 big targets. Cameron, no Gronk. Gronk's out again. So no, Cameron Braid, O.J. Howard. I think they had 2 targets between them last week. If anything against the Eagles, they're going to leave those guys in the block. You don't need those guys running patterns when you have Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, and Mike Evans. I'm sorry. I mean, sorry, guys. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun game. On the Eagles side, I think Jalen Hurts, you know, I'm not huge on the kid. I think he's pretty good. I do love Devontae Smith. He's a good route runner. He's fast. I think the connection's obvious between the two of them. You play him. Jalen Reagor's been silent. Maybe he has a big one tonight. Goddard's out with COVID, so this could be the Zach Ertz resurgence game. They're going to have to throw. Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell, I don't know what the Eagles are going to do in their backfield. Sanders can catch the ball. If they throw to him, it'd be a really good opportunity to take advantage of Tampa Bay's, you know, secondary. But I don't know if they're going to do that. I mean, you just don't know the way he's using his running backs. So Hurts, Smith, Hurts, guy play them with confidence. I'm not sure about Rieger or anybody else on that side of the ball, but it's one of those things. Every time I get down on Miles Sanders, it's like, ah, and then he'll have like an 80-yard touchdown run.
You got to have a little reverse psychology there, syndrome.
Yeah, but I would not be surprised if the Eagles came out and tried to run the ball. Well, we want to keep Brady on the other side. Well, you went three and out again, dummy. How effective was it? You wasted 3 minutes, but you went three and out. He's back on the field.
Right, and he doesn't need much time.
He doesn't need much time. Sunday, we get another London game. There's another barn burner, too. Dolphins at Jaguars. Ooh.
Combined one win.
That is exciting. Over under 47. Jaguars are underdogs by 3.5 to Miami. Miami's a better team, whether it's Brissett or Tua Tagovailoa playing. Miami is the better team. They'll win. It's a matter of by how much, who does the damage. Obviously, if I'm Miami and I'm Gaskins, I'm going to be like, give me the ball. I mean, I'm not Derrick Henry, but he ran for 130 last week and 3 touchdowns. Miami's formula for winning right now: pound the run, hit Gesicki, your tight end, try to get Devontae Parker and these guys healthy on the outside, use Jalen Waddle more, use the kid. You know, so you play Gaskins with confidence, the quarterback you don't touch. Gesicki is, you have a tight end, there's only maybe 12 viable tight ends, you probably have to play him. He's getting targeted, you know. So Waddle, I guess, would be the receiver to play. But on the Jacksonville side, it's James Robinson. You can run on Miami a little bit, just let Robinson run. I don't trust any of the receivers, and I don't trust Lawrence yet. But so it's really a running back game. Gaskins and Robinson will probably be your bigger names coming out of this game. And the kickers, they are in London, so it's real football. So kickers tend to do well overseas. It's kind of funny how that works. So here you go. Play your kickers in that game. There's some freaking knowledge for you, right? This is Jimmy, your fantasy warlock. We'll be back to get into the Sunday slate of games.
Radio 111 is your home for talking fantasy sports. Jim Francisco is the fantasy warlock. And live from Palm Springs, here's the man, the legend, the warlock himself, Jimmy.
Week 6, NFL, fantasy football. Here we go. So you have 4 byes this week. Last week's London teams, Atlanta and the Jets, are off. You know, outside of Pitts and Ridley and Matt Ryan and Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been awesome. I mean, you lose those guys this week if you have them. The Jets, if you have to depend on Jets players, it's okay you lost them for this week. Maybe you'll find a replacement. I mean, Michael Carter, the rookie, has been doing okay, but it's just finding the end zone once a week. New Orleans is off, so Kamara owners, oh, you're hating life right now. Hopefully you have a pretty good backup running back to slide in there. And the Niners are off, and the Niners need a break. I mean, Trey Lance is beaten up. Garoppolo could be back after the bye. Then the quarterback controversy begins. We don't know whoever's going to play running back there, but they're all dinged, so this gives them some time to heal. Kittle's on IR, so it's another week for him to get ready. You know, just amazing to me, the way the Niners just, every year, like, man, they look really good, and then, boom, this guy goes down, that guy goes down, this guy goes down. They're very snake-bitten. Unlucky. The Niners and the Jets, imagine that, and they're on the same bye week. The Texans, coming off that heartbreaking loss to the New England Patriots next week, get to travel to Indianapolis, who are coming off their own heartbreaking loss to the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night. The Colts are trending up. The Texans look like they were trending up, but they're still the Texans. They still have Davis Mills at quarterback. The Colts' defense is good. The Colts and the Titans are the cream of that division, not the Texans and Jaguars. So Colts are favored by 10. That seems a little high, but there's a reason. Over under 43, yeah, I mean, this could be 27-6, something like that. So it's going to hit the under. But Indianapolis, Carson Wentz, could play Wentz. You can play Jonathan Taylor for sure. He's catching the ball now, running it. Marlon Mack was back last week, ran for 43 yards against Baltimore. A lot of rumors have Kansas City reaching out to Indianapolis this week about Marlon Mack's availability. Maybe Marlon Mack has a new chance with the Chiefs since Clyde Edwards-Helaire is down for a while. But look for that trade to happen in the next week or so if that's the case. But yeah, Indianapolis, you play Jonathan Taylor. He's the one guy you play regardless. He is the focal point of the offense. Carson Wentz can put up numbers. He can also be Carson Wentz and disappear. Michael Pittman seems to be his target of choice. Watch the T.Y. Hilton thing. If he's back, look for a couple of deep shots to T.Y. If he's not back, then you just play Taylor, Pittman, and Wentz. On the other side, Houston, I mean, Brandon Cooks, that's the only guy you play. And we knew last week it was going to be a down game because he was playing the Patriots, but the Colts, not exactly the same secondary. Okay? So you got that one. Packers-Bears. Another divisional matchup. This one is in Chicago. The Bears are dinged up. Running back's dinged. Quarterback dinged. Green Bay seems to be catching a little steam. The over-under's 44. Green Bay is favored by 4.5, you know, on the road. So, I mean, Green Bay is definitely the better team here. You play Rodgers. You play Aaron Jones. You play Devontae Adams. Could be a Robert Tonyan game. You know, on the Bears side, I'd roll the dice. Maybe Allen Robinson, you know, wakes up. I don't know. I mean, the Bears are probably going to be coming from behind in this game. So you'd imagine, even though it's a divisional game and they know each other, you still think the Packers will develop some sort of lead early, and then the Bears are going to be chasing. So maybe Fields or Dalton or whoever's playing quarterback will have to throw, and maybe Robinson wakes up. But I don't trust anybody on the Chicago side of the offense. We can't recommend anybody. Chiefs at Washington. Well, if Mahomes and the Chiefs offense was ever going to get better, this would be the week, right? Washington, terrible against the pass. Chiefs, supposedly really good with the pass. Mahomes, Kelsey, Mecole Hardman could have a big week. Darrell Williams, the running back, or Jerick McKinnon, who knows. But you definitely want to play everybody in the passing game. You're going to play Mahomes, Kelsey, and Hill regardless. Hill seems fine from the little injury he had. Mecole Hardman's picking up some steam. He had a lot of targets last week. He's just another version of Tyreek Hill. He's just a little bit taller, you know. Just doesn't have the full trust yet. But Kansas City's get well game. On the Washington side, you know, Taylor Heineke, Ryan Fitzpatrick could be back soon. Whoever's playing quarterback, you can play him against the Chiefs. Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson still putting up some pretty good numbers. He had a touchdown last week. You can play Gibson. You can play McLaurin. I don't trust any of the other receivers. You can play the quarterback. I mean, they're going to have to throw to keep up with the Chiefs. This is not a game where they're going to be able to pound Antonio Gibson and really keep the Chiefs off the field. The Chiefs, big play. Offense should be back. This is the week you'll see, like, the long Tyreek Hill touchdown or Kelsey going for a couple of touchdowns or something, or Mecole Hardman getting a long one, maybe a kick return. It's just one of those games. Washington's decimated. They're getting investigated, and all their emails are coming out. It's a mess. Chiefs get well game. Vikings-Panthers. You know, God, it's an ugly game. Over-under 46. Normally, you'd be very excited as a fantasy owner. Christian McCaffrey going against Dalvin Cook. Top two picks in fantasy football drafts this year. Well, they're both hurt. Hamstring for McCaffrey, ankle for Cook, neither one's themselves. Chuba Hubbard's healthy. He seems to be, you know, if you have to play Hubbard, that's a guy to go with. DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, you're waiting for Anderson to break out. It hasn't happened yet. Sam Darnold's doing okay. I mean, 46 over under. This could end up going higher than it should. Just they don't know each other very well. It's in Carolina. Justin Jefferson, Thielen. If Madison or Cook plays, play them. I don't trust Amir Abdullah, but Kirk Cousins will be hucking us all over the place. And the Eagles did much better in the air last week against them than they did on the ground. So it's another one of those games. I mean, everybody's injured. Chargers-Ravens. That's going to be fun.
Huge game.
Huge game. Like, big time. Like, these are two teams that are top of their divisions. They're going to be meeting each other in the playoffs. This is one of those games that could decide home field.
Yeah. Two really, really good quarterbacks.
Yep. Yeah, Justin Herbert playing at a high level. Lamar Jackson playing at a much higher level than people are expecting. You know, Marquise Brown should have a good game. Mark Andrews, a great tight end. They're going to try to run. I mean, Lamar's going to get his. Herbert's going to get his. Eckler is going to get his regardless. Jonathan Taylor torched the Ravens on Monday night out of the backfield for 7 catches and a touchdown. Eckler's better out of the backfield than him. So it's trending that way. It's like, yeah, it's a Herbert, Eckler. Keenan Allen will probably do better than Mike Williams this week. The Ravens aren't really susceptible to the long touchdown as they are the underneath guys. So Allen could have one of those 6 to 12 catch games, you know. And you play them. You play everybody in confidence in this. Both defenses you want to shy away from because this should be more of a scoring type game. Bengals, Lions. Barn burner. The Lions are 3.5-point underdogs, a 47.5-point over-under. Yeah, and this is going to be a low-scoring game. I mean, I can see Ja'Marr Chase getting behind Detroit once. Maybe Joe Mixon or Perrine, whoever's the running back, grinds out some yardage, maybe punches one in. Joe Burrow should have a decent game. I mean, the Lions' defense is, like we talked about, you know, they're playing pretty good. They're just very unlucky, you know? I mean, they held Adam Thielen without a catch until the last 30 seconds of the game.
Well, that's our MO anyway, so.
And for the Lions, I mean, you can run on Cincinnati. Hopefully DeAndre Swift is healthy, and you just pound that kid. And then let's see a long – I'm telling you right now, he is going to have a long touchdown if they keep giving him the ball. If he gets 15 to 25 touches, in that mix will be a long run or a long reception touchdown. But you got to give him the reps to get to that point. You can't just feed him the ball – 5-6 times in the first half.
And give up on it.
And then start throwing the Jamal Adams out of the backfield. Get the ball in your weapons' hands. If they do that, this kid will reward them. Just saying.
I think you're right, my friend.
Rams, Giants. Oof-a. If the Giants are without Daniel Jones, are without Saquon Barkley, are without Kenny Galladay, are without Kadarius Toney, basically you're going to play the Rams' defense. They're playing at a very good level. They're going to get after Mike Glennon. Jeez. Jalen Ramsey, probably pick him off a couple of times. This could be really ugly for the Giants. The Rams are 9.5-point favorites in New York. 48.5 over-under. The Rams could hit that on their own. This could be a defensive touchdown or two out of this one. Woods, Cup, you know, flip a coin. One of them will go off. One of them will have a decent game. Daryl Henderson should be able to pound the ball. Sony Michel should be able to get some. You saw what the Cowboys did last week. Zeke Elliott and Pollard both ran well. So if you have Henderson and Michelle and you're in a bye week quandary, don't be afraid to play either one, especially if you're like a Kamara owner and you're off and there's your stud, you know. For the Giants, I mean, Devontae Booker, I mean, that's the only viable weapon you could play right now. Evan Ingram, the tight end, maybe, if they're coming from behind. But, yeah, the Giants are going to have to throw underneath. They're not going to get deep on this team. So if anybody on the Giants pass-catching core has a game, it'll be Evan Ingram. Cardinals, Browns, another one. Baker Mayfield's left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder, Kyler Murray's throwing shoulder, two good pass rushes. Over-under's 49.5. I think that goes under. It's in Cleveland. Arizona's a dome team. They go on the road. Yeah, I mean, Murray's going to be Murray. Hopkins is resurging. You know, they remembered, I got this guy named DeAndre Hopkins to throw to. The guy catches everything. You know, Rondell Moore, he could break one long. Christian Kirk, I mean, A.J. Green, they've got great weapons. It's just choosing which one's going to go off, really difficult. Really difficult. But you know Hopkins is going to get his targets. You know Murray's going to do well. Edmonds, Connor, either running back. It sounds like an Edmonds game because of the way, Eckler and the Chargers were able to pass to the running back last week. But Connor can also receive, but he seems to be the guy they use inside the 20.
Yeah, both teams got a lot of injuries, a lot of question marks. Mm-hmm. Looks like Browns more so.
Yeah, and the Browns, you know, if Chubb's down and Kareem Hunt, play him with confidence. I mean, you play both of those guys with the Browns. Yeah, I don't know if you necessarily play Mayfield. OBJ, obviously, you're not touching. And Njoku had the big game last week. People are going to be chasing that, and they're going to plug him into their lineups this week and be like, oh, Njoku, and then he's going to do nothing. And they're like, what the hell happened, right? The only guys in that offense you can count on are Chubb and Hunt. If they're both in there, they're going to get the ball. I mean, they're going to try to run. Even though the Cardinals' defense is good, they're still going to be the Browns. They're going to run the ball, right, to set up play action. But I don't know if this is an OBJ play action long touchdown game. It doesn't look that way. He's trending the wrong way, you know. Stephen A. might be right. They're blackballing him. Build him up to trade him then if you don't want him, you know? Jeez. But, I'm not really excited about that game. You know, not like I was last week with the Browns and Chargers. That game, I wasn't too excited about it before, but then when I was watching it, I'm like, this is fun. Yeah,
that game escalated to a level I was not expecting. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the Cardinals rolled them. But I wouldn't be surprised if this was also like a 20-19 game. I think it's going to be tighter than people think. I mean, the Cardinals are favored. The Browns are favored by 3 at home. I didn't realize that. I think the Cardinals can win outright.
Yeah, I'd go against that.
I would go again. I would take the 3 points in the Cardinals. And I'd probably play the under.
Yeah, I'd play the under.
Raiders, Broncos. Oh, my. Which Raider team shows up? It's in Denver, so the Raiders get a break from Vegas. Like, oh, we get out of here a little bit, you know. Oh, man, what did Gruden say about me? God, Chucky, man, I thought Chucky was my guy. Maybe Keyshawn's right. He was a used car salesman. You know, it's hard. The Broncos are a good defense. Vic Fangio has them playing tough. They're good. I mean, you know, they're missing some components and everything, but I don't know if the Raiders have the pieces. And they're definitely a mess right now. So, I mean, the Broncos are favored by 3.5. 44 yep. over under. It's probably an under.
Yep, I take Broncos and the under.
Pick Broncos and the under at home. For the Broncos, play Javonte Williams, maybe Melvin Gordon, Tim Patrick, Cortland Sutton. Font needs a comeback game. For the Raiders, you play Waller every week, and you probably play Josh Jacobs this week. Those are the only ones you can count on. This is Jimmy, your fantasy warlock. A few more games to go through before we get to week 6.
One on fantasy sports action this week with the Fantasy Warlock. Here's Radio 111's Jim Francisco.
Happy week 6, y'all. Here we are. Week 6 of the NFL season. First week of byes. If you have 49ers, if you have Saints, God forbid you have Jets or Falcons that you're depending on, they are off this week. Make sure you check your rosters and make sure those guys are out of your lineup. Zeros in a fantasy football lineup, not just bad for you, but bad for your league. You know, compete. Cowboys at Patriots. The Eagles played the Cowboys a couple weeks ago on Monday night. Started off the game, ran the ball really well a couple of plays, and then didn't run the ball again. You can run a little bit on the Cowboys. Their secondary is very good. Stephon Diggs' little brother, is playing at a high level back there as a defensive back. He's got an interception in every game. Patriots at home. Cowboys are favored by 3.5, over under 51. It seems a little high, but, you know, Belichick and the defense are going to look to, what are they going to do? They're going to look to stop the run first, or they're going to try to take out Amari Cooper or CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys have so many weapons, and Dak has developed enough as a quarterback to find the open guy. So, if you take away the run component and force Dak to pass, maybe that's their game plan. On the other side, when they have the ball, I mean, look, you play your Cowboys regardless. They're showing that they can score on anybody. So go ahead and play Zeke. If you have Pollard and you need him for a Kamara this week, play him. You know, they're going to have to run the ball to beat New England. They're going to have to throw to beat New England. They're going to have to do it all. And they have all the weapons to do that. Schultz, Jarwin, if you have to play a secondary tight end. Cooper's going to, you know, be Cooper. He runs great routes. Dak finds him. Very confident with him in the end zone. CeeDee Lamb seems to break something every week. So play your Cowboys with confidence. On the New England side, this should be a game, and it's kind of been their MO, pound the run. Mac Jones is a rookie. They don't have a lot at wide receiver. Jacoby Myers is their leading receiver. Hunter Henry, former Charger tight end, has scored in the last couple of games. Seems to be Jones' safety valve, like the Brady-Gronk thing. It's Jones-Henry. You know, so, you know, I don't necessarily play Jones with confidence, but if he's going to have to probably keep up with the Cowboys on offense. So if you have to play Jones, if you're without a Jameis Winston or a Zach Wilson or a Jimmy Grapes or a Trey Lance, any of the guys on bye week this week, or a Matt Ryan, you know, Mac Jones might not be a bad play. Just saying. Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, he doesn't have a lot of depth at receiver, but I do, if Damian Harris is healthy, and Brandon Bolden, you're going to see a lot of them trying to pound the run on Dallas. You can gain 4 yards, 5 yards a carry against Dallas. You're going to see, and New England will do that. They'll run to death if that's the way to win. And Belichick's smart enough to pound the run against this Cowboys team. They have the team to be able to keep the Cowboys on the sideline. Mac Jones is smart enough to hit his tight end for a first down on third and short, but they're going to try to pound the run. I mean, that makes the most sense to me, but you never know. Over under 51, I don't see it going over. I think a lot of unders this week. It just seems like one of those weeks, you know. But I think Dallas has too much for them. I think Dallas will win. Seahawks at Steelers, your Sunday night game, would have been so much more exciting if Ben was healthy and if Juju Smith-Schuster wasn't on IR and Deontay Johnson was healthier. And, you know, we talked about Chase Claypool breaking out again last week. DK Metcalf on the other side, Tyler Lockett, but Russell Wilson's out for 8 weeks. So Geno Smith is your quarterback there. Whew. Oh, when a former Jet is your new quarterback, you got to be like, oh, no. Oh, no. Geno didn't look bad in that Thursday night game until the very end when he just threw a horrible interception when they had a chance to move down the field and try to tie it. But, yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf, you're going to play him regardless. He's just one of those big-time breakaway receivers. I mean, if Geno's smart, he will look to Metcalf often because Metcalf is the one physical specimen that can fight off DBs, can make the tough catch, and he can blow by you. So I still think Metcalf gets his. I don't know if it's going to be Carson with his neck injury or whoever the hell else they're going to try to throw out at running back, Alex Collins or whatever. Pittsburgh at home, a little tougher to run on at home. Their defense has been susceptible to the run and the pass this year. They're kind of a mess all over the place, the Steelers. But at home, I think the Steelers will pull this out. It's 42.5 over-under for a reason. You're an injured Ben Roethlisberger with a gaggle of injuries. This is going to be a Najee Harris game. It's like, here's the rookie that everybody's talking about. Now he's in the national spotlight. He's going to get his 20 to 30 touches. Look for Najee to keep that train rolling. I mean, the kid, it's opportunity. He's touching the ball. He's catching it out of the backfield. He's running hard. He's a hell of a player. You know, if Ben can manage the game right, Steelers should win. I just don't think it's going to be high scoring.
I would agree with that.
Metcalf might get one. Tyler Lockett is, you know, I don't know if Geno has the timing right to hit a guy like Lockett. He's a timing pattern runner, little guy, gets the space. You know, you have to be in tune with him, and he was obviously not in tune with him on that interception.
I'm going to go with a no.
Yeah, so
that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. So be very leery on that one. And then the Monday night game. This is another playoff preview. Buffalo now, you know, they have a chance to show that they are the team in the AFC. They get to play Tennessee. In Tennessee. So Buffalo goes on the road to Kansas City. Now they get to go on the road to Tennessee. Flex some Buffalo muscle. Buffalo is favored by 5.5. 54 over under. I have a feeling this one goes over.
I would agree with that.
And I think Josh Allen does his thing. Titans are very susceptible on the back end. I think Diggs has a reappearance on Monday night. Dawson Knox continues his trend of upward climbing. On the other side, it's Derrick Henry. A.J. Brown has a better week this week. Tannehill, maybe 250. That's what I'm seeing. It's been a fun week. Thank you, Sir Tom.
It's been a pleasure, my friend.
Talk to you all next Thursday.
See ya.
Good luck.